I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
701-9799 or visit us at stonehavendental.com. We'll give you a reason to smile.
Your home for the best college football coverage in Utah. This is your Cougars at 30 update on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, it's your Cougars at 30 update right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. Kalani Sitake giving his thoughts on what BYU should expect from Georgia Southern this weekend in that offense and defense.
When you see what they do offensively, scheme is difficult because it's very similar to what Coastal Carolina did to us last year. But they also can throw the ball. They get big chunks and play action pass. But they utilize their personnel really well. Everybody is a threat to run the ball or be a pitch man, and everybody's a threat to catch the ball too. Quarterback can run, and they have a number of them that can do it. And defensively, they play tough and they're fast, really athletic. That's the thing that jumps out on film is the athleticism and the speed.
I thought it was Cougars at 30 update brought to you by, oh, hey, you got a Raiders game this weekend. Raiders Bengals brought to you this weekend by America First Credit Union, as always, the exclusive home of the Raiders debit card, the official Raiders debit card. Same great features and benefits now with the silver and black. Learn more at americafirst.com/Raiders. Matt Biamonte coming up next, our BYU insider on KSLSports.com. Stay with us.
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Okay, welcome back. It's Unrivaled, 97.5 1280 The Zone. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Have you had fun today, Scott? I mean, Football Friday gets wild.
I always look forward to this day.
You get,
Coach Mack, he's awesome.
I can barely keep you guys together. I can barely keep you guys on track. It's amazing.
That's the best part about it. There's no track. It's like
I just love that you bring up players, and then one of them ends up calling in. Rod Wells calls
awesome.
In. That's amazing. Yeah, so lots going on here. We're going to head out to the Smart Rain guest line. Best of state winner, Smart Rain, incredible Black Friday sale going on right now. The entire month of November, Smart Rain is giving free controllers along with the free Apple iPad to commercial properties who sign up with a paid cellular hosting subscription. Visit smartrain.net for more. The guy who's on the Smart Rain guest line, Matt Biamonte from KSLSports.com and KSL News Radio, Cougar Sports Saturday. Matt, I would say it's a massive game for BYU this weekend. This is one of those interesting ones where they had a bye week to prep for a very lesser opponent. In Statesboro, Georgia this weekend in Georgia Southern. What do you expect out of this game?
I expect BYU to score a lot of points and win by a wide margin. Look, being 14, Alex, there's still an outside shot, but the committee's made it clear to teams like BYU and Cincinnati, these non-Power 5 teams, that you can't just win. You have to kill people. And if BYU can hang up 60 and win by 50 points, maybe they move up a spot, and then the opportunity continues with USC the following week. So they have to score a lot of points if they have a puncher's chance and moving up the CFP ranking. So, look, they're healthier than they've been in quite some time thanks to the bye week. I think they're going to score a lot of points and win by a wide margin.
I'm not even sure winning by a large margin was going to help this college football ranking
point,
stuff.
Style point sometimes doesn't help. I mean, it just, yeah, I get it.
Yeah,
if you only win 30-10, that's not going to help. So they need help in front of them, but if they're convincing, then maybe they get the nod. But if you don't do that, then there's no way you'll have a chance at moving up. That's my point.
Yeah, and it's a good point. So Kalani, there's all these coaching rumors with Kalani. What do you think is fact and what do you think is fiction?
I think it is fact that USC and Washington are interested in him, and that if he wants to, he could probably get an interview with those teams. I'm just not convinced those are significantly better jobs right now, in large part because BYU is going to be a member of the Big 12. If that had not happened, then going to Washington or USC would make all the sense in the world, and it would be a significant step up.
And everybody would get it. Everybody would go, we get it. I get why he's leaving.
Totally. Absolutely. But since BYU's in the Big 12, look, Washington hasn't been good in quite some time. They had a little run there with Chris Peterson, but they were okay under Steve Sarkisian. They had a good run with Chris Peterson where they go to the playoff, and they've dipped, and that's going to be a big rebuild. And then USC, their expectations are so high. Would you be given the time to build it the way that you want to build it? I don't know. Because it's taken Kalani 4 or 5 years to get BYU to the point that they're at right now. Is he going to be given that time at Washington or USC? I don't know. I just feel like right now, BYU and what he's built there, that's the best situation of those three, in my opinion.
Matt, one of the things I've been looking at this week, I thought the same thing about, maybe they put up 55-plus points for the third week in a row, which would be pretty insane, but on our Players Club show with Jaron, we talked about Neil Pau'u and how tough of a loss that is. I know there's a lot of depth at wide receiver, but that guy is something really special. And so to not have him as your number one or number two wideout for BYU, that's a massive blow. And I know Jaron's going to be missing him.
Oh, yeah. Losing Neil is huge. Just because Neil, before the season began, all the talk was about Puka Nacua and Gunnar Romney, and I think a lot of people slept on Neil, even though he had a really good year last year. And he's such an interesting mismatch problem in the slot, which is where he predominantly plays. And they're going to fill that with Samson Nacua and Keanu Hill, and I think they'll do a great job against Georgia Southern. It'll be a tall task against an athletic USC team. But Neil and Jaron have just had this chemistry from day one that I don't know that he's had necessarily with a guy like Gunnar Romney. Now, I love that Gunnar Romney's healthy and Aaron Roderick sing his praises and he's ready to go, but losing a guy like Neil, because it just felt like, in specific moments you could rely on Neil, so not having him, it's not going to impact this game because I think they're going to run the ball well and they've got enough guys, and having the Nacua bros gives them depth. But you want Neil Pau'u back for the USC game for sure if that's possible.
All right, so you feel that BYU is going to do a great job against Georgia Southern. What is the threat, though? I mean, is there any chance? What do you know about this Georgia Southern team?
There's no threat. There's no chance. But if I had to make one up, I would say if BYU can't stop the run, that's the only thing Georgia Southern can do. They're 20th in the country in rushing because that's all they really do is run the football. So if BYU can't stop the run, then maybe there's a doomsday scenario where things are close and anything can happen. But I think BYU, because of the health, because of the opportunity to prepare, have an extra week of preparation for this type of offense, I think that they'll be ready to go and they'll do a good job of stuffing the run.
Matt Biamonte from KSL News Radio, Cougar Sports Saturday, KSLSports.com. You guys have some extended coverage tomorrow, of course. And as we're getting into it, and as you and Mitch Harper, your other co-host, kind of talk about these things, the energy around BYU's football program and basketball programs right now, so much of it has to do with the Big 12 and moving into the Big 12, but it's also the two guys who are heading up those programs, Kalani Sitake and Mark Pope. Talk a little bit about what those two guys, just in the last 24 months, have meant to this athletic program for BYU.
both of those guys are so likable. I just, you know, there's a lot of coaches in those respective sports that, yeah, they might win, but they're not likable guys. Like, I remember it was the Idaho State game. I'm in the elevator heading up to the press box, and Mark Pope comes in, and there's a family in there, and one of the kids is like, oh, that's Mark Pope. You know, he was like, hey, man, you're the man. We love you. And he just has this infectious attitude. And so does Kalani. And I think that we're starting to see that pay off in recruiting. And then you add the Big 12 to that, I think certainly helps. But these guys know how to build programs. They know how to set a culture. And it's invaluable to have guys like that, because there have been other coaches at both programs before that have been successful but didn't quite have the same attitude. And I think it was a little harder for them to recruit. There's no way... You know, and I love Dave Rose, and what Dave Rose was great, and up until now, he's the best coach in BYU basketball history, in my opinion. But I don't think Dave Rose lands a guy like Colin Chandler.
No.
But Mark Pope and that best locker room in America and everything that he's building and that really tight-knit atmosphere, that is a byproduct of his personality that has allowed, with the winning, of course, allowed them to get in the door.
And NIL. And, yes. And boy.
That was kind of a factor.
Look, NIL for sure, but more than anything, it's the winning. It's the chance to play at the Big 12 and then the winning, and then you throw in a guy like Mark Pope, and that's a guy that you want to play for and you love being around. That matters. So I think BYU's got to do whatever they can to retain both of these guys for as long as they can, because if they stay around for a while, this team can win Big 12 championships into the future. You lose these guys, yeah, you could find someone to replace them, but you just never know. Like, these guys are proven commodities. They're successful at BYU. They know what BYU is all about, and they're winning. And there's not been a better time in the history of BYU athletics than right now, in my opinion, because it's not just these two sports. Soccer's in the Sweet 16. Volleyball, I mean, BYU athletics is healthy. It is legit. And if I'm some home, I do anything to retain these guys.
Look at Matt delivering the state of the program. Okay, it's good stuff, yeah. Man.
So you go to a Power 5 conference, and you're playing the Power 5 schedule now, and and it's the Big 12. I mean, there's a lot of good schools there, and BYU got a taste of that with the Baylor game. How do you recruit? I mean, because you still have the challenges of recruiting, and BYU does a tremendous job of recruiting with the challenges with the. You know, the honor code issues and all those things. How do you recruit in a Power 5 way if you're BYU? Because you're still going to have to recruit, and you're going to have to recruit better athletes than you have now if you're going to compete consistently week in and week out. So how does BYU do that?
It's simple. The one thing that's been holding them back for the past 10 to 15 years is that members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that were high-profile athletes were not going to BYU because they didn't feel like they could play at the biggest level, that they couldn't compete for national championships, and that's no longer the case. So I think that's the only tweak here. Because if you can land, I'm going to the past year, but if you land a couple of Manti Te'os a year, which they've been out there, but BYU hasn't been getting them. They've been going to USC. They've gone to Alabama. There's a handful of guys that BYU has recruited that play for Alabama. If you can somehow land two or three of those guys a year, that makes all the difference in the world. I don't think you need to change your recruiting pool at all. I just think that these guys that have connections to BYU that are four-star and five-star guys, like a Colin Chandler, you've got to land these guys. And BYU basketball is starting to do it. And I think BYU football, we're seeing that as well. So that's come via the transfer portal. But if they can get in on those guys from day one, then I think it changes everything. So I don't think recruiting is that big of a deal now that you're in the Big 12, because you can sell that we can compete for a national championship.
I'm going to write these next answers down. So how many yards rushing does Tyler Allgeier end up with tomorrow, and what's the point total BYU puts up on Georgia Southern?
BYU is going to score 52 points. I'm going to go 52-10. And I think Tyler Allgeier runs for 150, which would put him, he would pass his running backs coach, Harvey Unga, on the single season list. and he would be he'd pass Harvey Jamal from 2013 and Ronnie Jenkins, so he'd be at number five, knocking on the door at Taysom Hill and Jamal from 2015.
Wow.
So I was super bummed that he didn't get more carries against Idaho State. It's such a hard thing because you're going to win that game. You don't want him to get hurt, but I feel like he had an opportunity there to chase history and break Luke Staley's record, and that's out of reach now. But maybe he can move all the way up to number two if he can get around 1,400 yards rushing.
Matt Biamonte, you can read him on KSLSports.com. You can also tune into KSL News Radio on the weekend to hear him there on Cougar Sports Saturday. Matt, thanks for hanging out with us, man.
Anytime. Love you guys. Have a great weekend.
Appreciate it. We're going to take the break here. We'll come back. Guess what we have when we return? Got our old two-minute drill to wrap things up for this hour. So stay with us. More to go. It is Unrivaled 97.5, 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network.
The new Zone lineup is here.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.